You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Whale Wars After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Whale Wars After Show.
The world is a vampire.
Welcome, everybody. Bing is for doing, and we're here doing another after show for Whale Wars, Season 5, Episode 6 and 7. How do you like them apples, Ben?
Whales.
Nice. We're recapping. For those of you tuning in, I'll let the song play out just a little bit longer because it's so nice. All right. For those of you tuning in, we unfortunately had to skip last week, and so we are recapping both episodes 6 and 7. Never Say Die and Counter-Strike, the titles of the episodes. I, of course, am your host, Phil Svitek, joined alongside
Ben Bottomley.
And together, we are here for a collective effort to recap Whale Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely a lot to talk about. Might be a little bit of a longer episode than normal because there's two episodes. But overall thoughts, I'm actually looking forward to just kind of breaking it down, because there's obviously a lot more to talk about. So, but just overall thoughts of both episodes.
A lot more happened than I think happened throughout the rest of the season, which is good.
Well, we'll talk about it too, but we're reaching the finale, so...
Yeah, already.
I didn't realize that quick.
Yeah, I was surprised when they said it's next week.
But a 8-episode season, I guess. You know, they've gone a little bit longer at times. They did 10 last season,
mm-hmm.
and then the reunion show. But what's good about that, I guess, just to touch on it really quickly, is the fact that I guess they're not going to stretch it out for longer than they need to. You know?
Right.
They're going to be courteous to the audience members in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So it works out. But let's get right into it. And so in the first episode, let's talk about how the Bob Barker loses his tail, which was a really good strategy.
Yeah. I'm yawning. Sorry. It took them long enough. They were saying they had it for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. And here's what I would like to... Again, this is where it gets really, really tricky, is when did they fully come up with the strategy? You know, because it's one thing, okay, after 2 weeks, you know, was this kind of the last resort? Or was it, you know, how far in advance could they have thought of this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, we're going to continue to lose the tail. We'll try to do prop fouls and things like that. But we'll constantly be heading in this direction towards, you know, this island. And if worst comes to worst, you know, we have this as a backup plan and can go through there because they won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it formulated, you know what, we're a week and a half into this. Let's try this, you know?
Yeah, that brings up the question to me, is the Bob Barker, do they have, like, Delta boats? Are they capable to launch them? Because I don't think we've ever seen... Bob Barker launched smaller boats.
Well, they have small boats. They've used prop fowlers.
The Bob Barker has?
Yeah.
I thought it was all on the Irwin. I didn't...
No, because remember, they failed to stop the boat twice in the past episodes.
Okay.
Oh, Ben.
Yeah.
Oh, Ben.
I'll take your word for it.
But yeah, I mean, they tried, yeah. They certainly did.
Hmm.
But it's, you know, it's tough because what made it difficult was the fact that they were the only ones that actually were anywhere near the whaling grounds.
Yeah.
And the fact that they couldn't come up with a way to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we'll talk about this later too, but, you know, the first episode was kind of off-putting because it was, you know, this campaign's going to be great. We have them trapped at an early part of the campaign and with a new strategy that we never tried. And then then Gary.
I love how they say the biggest mistake that was made was Gary's fault.
Gary. And, you know, it's just from then on, the six episodes from the first episode have been just a debacle, and then their morale just deteriorating, you know, our morale too, yes.
It's ridiculous.
Because we're rooting for these guys.
And nothing, yeah, it's been a terrible campaign, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, and what's tough is, you know, we watch it for an hour a week. These guys, they're weeks.
Yeah, they're there for months.
Yeah, and so to have that kind of negativity.
Yeah.
What are you doing with your mic? You just testing around?
No, I don't know. I'm just... Okay, there we go. I think...
That's good.
That's better. Okay.
All right, leave it there.
Something
Ben was playing with his mic.
Something was happening with my mic, and now it's done.
We, of course, need to hear Ben better, so that's why we're readjusting. But, you know, to that point, it's the great... It does suck. And I'm glad they find... You know, again, I really wish they kind of explained... Well, they did explain, but just... I love the way marine law works,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I love whenever it comes into play and they kind of really explain it. And I just wish kind of we always knew what kind of the stakes are and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we joke about it. By the way, for those of you who don't know, we joke about this fact of, you know, if you want to stop the Japanese, just go into their port. And the reason why they can't do it, well, because the Japanese government would not let them into the Japanese port. That just goes without saying.
Yeah.
So, but for those of you who have written in, we're joking, of course.
And on that note, Paul has a quote. He says, these are international waters. This is the Wild West. Anything goes down here. And when he says that, it makes me want them to just start doing anything. You know, and be pirates and not use, you know, I say this all the time, but they need to actually do something.
Well, they you know, here's the problem. And, you know, this is why next season is actually going to be more exciting as a show. And unfortunately, that also means that the actual whaling battles are going to be more intense. And so it's a catch-22. You want a great show, but you actually, you're also trying to save the whales. But they will have a great show for the reason that, you know, it's like the Cold War. I get a gun, you get a bigger gun. I get a tank, you get a nuclear bomb. You know, so it's just upping the ante, and the Japanese government this season has really upped it.
Mm-hmm. Which, on that note, like, Brian got hit in the face with a stick, and they were throwing grappling hooks at them, which were tearing the boats apart. So, like, what would those do to a person? And they're still using smoke bombs and stink bombs.
Yeah, they're fighting the Civil War when, in fact, they should have.
I know it's in there. Another crew member said, like, if we were causing physical harm to them, that goes against everything we're about. And I get that, but I still want to see them do it anyway.
No, but they're not necessarily. Fully here, it's save the whales by, I mean, I'm not, you know, again, they can't necessarily sink the ship, but there's things that you can do, and there's, you know, right, it'd be like if I punched you, yeah, I'm causing physical harm, but it's not like I'm taking out your legs with a bat.
Yeah,
there's a difference in the physicality of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the way in which I go about it,
right?
So
I'm just saying, they need to do something.
Well, I'm trying to illustrate your point.
Okay.
In an articulate way.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Ben.
Well, I just get the feeling that you're saying, you think that I'm saying, like, they need to start killing Japanese whalers.
I just cleared it up for the audience members in case they thought that.
Okay. Well, I don't think that everyone. They just need to take their legs out.
There you go. let's talk about the... and again, in order to combat upping the ante of the Japanese, you have to up your own ante. And so, you know, with the Australians, that was... That did not play out the way they wanted to. That was a huge risk.
And they didn't gain what they wanted out of it.
Yeah. It's almost like... It's one of those tough things, and politics is just so tough in that nature. But you know, it'd be like, I'd have to call you. If Ben was the Australian government, I'd have to call Ben ahead of time and be like, hey, I'm about to do this. Would you actually pick these guys up?
Mm-hmm.
And will you do it this way, you know?
Right.
And... I'll let you speak your piece about it, but for me, you know, it also just goes to show politics. Like, there was long lull from the time that they were picked up to anything actually happening. I know there was some pressure, the newspapers and things like that were picking it up, and it was becoming an international story. But from the time at which it happened to the time that the Australian government actually did anything, you know, because they didn't know what to do with the Australian government, so they had to carefully plan it out and come up with the most politically sound thing. They didn't want to piss off the Japanese, but they obviously had to do something, and they figured out a way to do it. All right, we'll just pick them up.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like, I mean, that did really put them in a tight spot, because they the Japanese just left port with them on board. And so what do you do there? Like, if they were still in Japan, they'd just contact them, be like, or Australia, they'd just contact them and be like, yeah, we'll take them, just don't worry. But they just left and took them with them. So, like, what do you do? You just pick them up, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, and so, you know, again, that's how you appease kind of both parties. Yeah, you know, they have to be picked up, but mm-hmm. they'll be picked by us, and so you don't have to...
Yeah, they're very unbiased about the whole thing.
Yeah, and the way, obviously, just, again, just another thing that went wrong. All right, so, they, you know, here's another tail ship that... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were like, oh, maybe while they're making the handoff, we can get away. No, they're going to pick up the tail with another ship.
Yeah.
Of course.
So
I can see where that security budget went. They were prepared this year.
Here's my frustration. And, you know, I'm sure there's research. But sometimes it's a little bit tough to get to. But here's the thing. Ready? If you, as the Japanese government, I want to know what these whale samples are being used for. You know, where is this going? Let's see the breakdown. Do you really need that much a year?
Mm-hmm.
And then 27 million of your hurricane relief funds, or earthquake funds, rather, go to whaling? All right, you better show me some numbers on why whaling is going to cure cancer.
I don't get it. Like, they never show any sort of fact about, or any statistics about, like, what they're actually doing with the whales that they're killing.
No.
Because Sea Shepherd, they're obviously saying it's commercial whaling, and I mean, I assume that I don't know. Here's I don't know what to think.
Well, here's the problem, too. I mean, I love Whale Wars, and they obviously illustrate it, and it would make it a slightly different show, but I wanted to use a little bit different statistics, like, you know, and argue their point.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, this show is very biased. It's all, you know, it's meant
biased.
To root for the whalers. Or not the whalers, the whale...
Anti-whalers.
The sea shepherds.
Yeah.
And so the point is this. Use that as your argument. You know, each year, the whalers... kill whales, and because of that, here's the profit they make because of it, according to X, Y, and Z statistics.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And cancer still hasn't been cured.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
True.
Then you're arguing your point rather than just telling us.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me.
What should make sense to you, hopefully, guys, tell them about Amazon. Take a quick break.
Well,
from saving the whales, because we like the Sea Shepherds, we got to pay some bills, unfortunately.
We are part of the Amazon affiliate, this program thing, whatever. That's what it's called, I think.
The official technical term.
good enough for me.
Don't be like Gary. Don't ruin this.
We've got a banner on our homepage at AfterBuzzTV.com, and if you click that, and then it'll redirect you to Amazon, where you can make any purchases using any sort of gift cards or coupons or whatever you may have. And if you actually make a purchase, we will get a percentage of that purchase at no extra cost to you. So what I have done, I just removed my Amazon bookmark and replaced it with an AfterBuzz TV bookmark so that there is no temptation to just go right to Amazon. And now I can buy all sorts of useless things, and AfterBuzz gets money for it.
You've been a very good boy.
Yes. So you guys should do the same.
You guys, here's the thing. Again, we're not asking you to buy anything particular. And really, the thing about it is it helps us out tremendously, you know. And especially if you're a fan of Whale Wars, you understand kind of how these things work. In order for us to keep going, we need to be able to run. And we love delivering this content to you guys, this and a whole slew of other shows. And so if you guys don't help us out, then, you know, unfortunately, you guys are bad friends.
Mm-hmm.
And
so we don't want to play with you anymore.
That's right. And so it really, I can't stress how much it means to us. So please, just do us a favor. If you guys are shopping on Amazon.
Which you are.
Which you are.
We know
just,
you are.
Just go to AfterBuzzTV.com first. Click that banner and shop away. Now, let's talk about playing catch-up with the Japanese.
I feel this year, the Sea Shepherd has been... Sea Shepherds, I guess. They've been far less prepared than the Japanese have.
Well, that was episode one. That's the... Yeah.
They just didn't expect anything new. Like, I mean...
Well, they didn't expect whaling just in general.
Well, yeah. Okay. I suppose, but... I mean, you've got to be prepared, right? You can't even...
Here's where it stems from.
They use the same tactics they've been using the past 4 years, and they expect them to still, like, hold up today.
Well, you're talking about the specifics, but, I mean, if you remember, they try to catch them at, you know...
At the start,
and it would have worked...
If they didn't have a terrible pilot.
Gary, fortunately for Gary, and part of it it speaks to this point, you know, and especially since we've seen Whale Wars Bluefin and Whale Wars Viking Shore, they do a lot of these campaigns. They get beat up along the way, and so that has a collective effect, you know, from campaign to campaign. If they get beat up in one campaign, then that unfortunately translates to the other. It's not like it gets reset, and you know, if the hull of the ship took damage, you have to repair that damage, and if you only have 2 weeks to prepare for a trip, and that the hull is not going to be properly, you know, prepped for the next campaign. And as they said in episode one, usually it takes months, and they just were not prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And
it shows.
It's really sad.
Yeah, it's really frustrating too.
And you know, let's talk about, because this you brought it up a little bit earlier. We were getting the sticks and everything else,
mm-hmm,
to the heads. I mean, gosh, they were just getting bombarded.
Yeah. I got... That guy, Brian, he got smashed in the face.
Yeah. And it was just one of those tough situations, too, because they went back and they're like, you know, if this is serious, we have to get him to port immediately. First off, immediately, like...
Immediately meaning, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah. You know? And then, okay, if you have to get one person back...
Everyone has to go back. And then there's... Yeah.
So, you know, unfortunately, I was torn in that moment. And I you know, had to come down to a decision. I would have been like, all right, whatever. He's hurt. Cool. He signed up.
Yeah, you signed up for it. That sucks when you've got to make that decision. Luckily, they didn't. But, I mean, they were talking about brain damage, even. They weren't sure if he actually sustained brain damage.
Yeah.
That's pretty serious.
Brain damage, yes. And, you know, fortunately we're on the boat, and so they don't have really... I mean, the medics can only do so much. You don't have an operating room or anything like that you would ever need. But again, it goes back to your point. They're not prepared. And the Japanese, I mean, list all the tactics that they use, because there's a lot.
Oh, yeah. I can't even begin to list them. But they've got grappling hooks, sticks. They brought bolt cutters to get rid of like any sort of device attached to the ship. They've got the hooks to pull the propellers out before it gets sucked in. They've got still got water cannons, just all sorts of stuff. And yeah. I mean, they're definitely more prepared in the world of defense this time. Like they're able to prevent things from happening.
Are you able to prevent from your mic?
No, it's I don't know what's going on, but
I hear you well.
Okay. All no, right. It's not about hearing. It's I can't explain it.
Well, then don't.
Okay.
Just let it be.
I won't explain it.
There you go. All right. So yes, so continue.
That was it.
Well, you were about to say a sentence about preventing.
They're much more prepared to prevent anything before it happens, I suppose.
That's true. And again, it speaks to your point that they, unlike the Sea Shepherds, studied, okay, what's their tactics? Let's anticipate their tactics. And unfortunately,
they did.
Unfortunately for the Sea Shepherds, they didn't change their tactics, so therefore it's really easy. Easy to predict someone's tactics if they use the same tactics against you as before.
Every time, yeah.
You know, and it's also, you know, of course you're going to try one thing, and so again you have to have plan B, and the Sea Shepherds just don't have plan B.
Mm-mm.
So whereas I think the Japanese have plan F.
Yeah. I mean, Sea Shepherd's plan B was the Australians, and that sure worked out well for them.
But, yeah, and then let's talk about our new helicopter pilot, because I like this guy better.
Ken Gray.
He's doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And so we deployed him, so tell us about that.
I think he went about, it's like 90 miles each way. Because they asked him to go farther than he...
Yeah, they pushed him to the damn limits.
They pushed him to the limits. Of course, when he comes back, they lose comms with him. Apparently, he's out for like 20, 25 minutes. Now, what I was curious about that scene, was he really lost for 25 minutes? Or did they do that because they needed more suspense on the show? Because based on what he said... You'd think a pilot he seemed to know his stuff, and you'd think, you know, his reasoning is that the clouds were interfering and he just needed to drop his altitude. You'd think he would figure that out pretty quickly.
You could, but then also it depends where you are. Like, if you're in, you know, it's almost the equivalent if you're in the eye of the storm, then it's going to be very difficult to get out of there. You know, and so, you know, there's sections of these clouds and things like that, you know. So who knows? I don't know.
I felt like it was kind of fake, to be honest with you.
All right.
But
who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah, but I like this guy a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they definitely pushed him to the limits.
Yeah. Almost too far.
But the good news is, again, I don't think, as scary as that was, he didn't seem to complain too much.
Mm-mm. He is one of the few people who realized, like, yeah, this is what I signed up for.
Yeah.
I guess he gets it.
He does. And then, any last thoughts on just playing catch up with the Japanese before we'll talk about it, obviously, as we talk about the next topic, but just in that. All right. Mm-hmm. Before we, I want to spend a good amount talking about the morale of our Sea Shepherds, but before we do that, let's talk about our morale. And I joke about that in the sense of this. You guys as fans, if you guys are listening, and I know you guys are, the one thing that you guys can do, and you know, to be a little bit vain, it helps our morale, but it also helps us create better content and gets more traction with iTunes, is if you guys go to iTunes and rate and comment. If there's nothing... Amazon's a great perk, but the one thing we really, really ask you to do is go to iTunes and rate and comment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let us know how we're doing. If you like the show, give us 5 stars. If there's areas of improvements, you know, give us whatever, you know, hopefully it's a high grade, but let us know also, okay, how we can improve, or if you think we're doing good, what the things we are doing good are.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is tell a friend. It's the easiest thing that you could do for us that helps spread the word. And then, because what eventually happens, it's like It's like telephone. One friend tells a friend, tells a friend, tells a friend, and then AfterBuzz is the new cool thing on the block,
yeah,
which we like.
That's good.
Yes. And then Ben gets to do more shoots with 50 Cent, like he gets to do tomorrow. How are they related? I don't know, but you gotta tell a friend.
Yeah, tell them that I'm gonna do a shoot with 50 Cent tomorrow.
But yeah, so it only works if you guys help spread the word, bring in comments and things like that. It's the little things that matter to us.
Indeed.
And we truly, truly appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Just like these guys appreciate. Again, I talked about it. I don't know how many weeks, but 6 episodes of them just getting punched. Be like, if I was punching you for 6 episodes, you wouldn't really like it that much.
No. I'd probably back out if I could, to be honest. Which is probably why so many of them left when they got back to port.
It could be. I mean, it's always tough, you know, you want to help, but sometimes when you're there, you realize, you know what, I'm just...
It's just too much for them.
Yeah, this just isn't for me.
Mm-hmm. They're not... Yeah, they've been down in the dumps lately, I'd say.
But, you know, in the early seasons, they always had that moment, you know, they had a kind of quicker arcs or whatever you would want to call them to this, where, you know, if they were ever down in the dumps, they saw whales, and then that picked them right up. And, you know, I don't know how produced that is, or, you know, it's not like you can call upon whales, or, but
Aquaman,
you know. Aquaman can, yeah. But, you know, they saw whales, and the whole tone changed, and this was the part I was finally looking for. You know, I know Paul Watson is articulate, but I want to, you know, for the whole show, I always wanted to see him in this. This is vintage Paul Watson, where he's like, you know, we're never going to give up, et cetera, et cetera. And he didn't say it in a cliche way. And I believed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it got my morale up. And then you had the score underneath to lift you musically. It was great.
Yeah, it was good. I'm trying to remember what event, like, okay, no, yes.
Okay, yes, no, what?
Yes, no, maybe. Well, it's like when the Steve Irwin's morale totally increased, the Bob Barkers just dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were following a mystery ship for 3 hours that turned out to be a fishing vessel. And then they were like, well... That sucks. We've got 4 weeks left and we're still not making any progress. But Steve Irwin, they saw some whales, I think.
Yeah.
Right. That picked them up. And they lost the tail, too. That was good.
Well, and then, yeah, Paul Watson said it pretty good. If they're following us, then they can't do as much whaling. So
it's not been a complete loss.
Yeah. I mean, obviously... Every year, their goal is zero whaling.
Mm-hmm.
But again, at the end of the day, you can only do so much. And it just, again, really, really good speech.
Yeah.
And I personally would like to see more of that.
Yeah.
I think we spend a little too much time in the third perspective, whereas, you know, like, let's kind of come down a little bit and make it a little bit personal.
Yeah.
The show.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, you know, that was one of those moments.
And that was great when Paul just said, like, load all 3 boats. We're doing this right now.
Yeah.
That was good. I like when he steps up and leads.
Yes. He needs to have more naps and just wake up and be like, we're doing this.
Yeah. He does love his naps.
Well, no, just in general, I just equate that to, okay, like, you know, you just wake up with a great idea and you're like, all right, let's put it to action.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, do you want to do, let's get into predictions for next week. And the season finale.
You're after Buzz TV predictions.
I can't believe it's the season finale already.
Yeah, it's been a short season.
Well, again, because you know, and luckily they did build it really well. Because it's been a short season in the sense that, again, we're just getting beat up and the Sea Shepherds are getting beat up. And I feel like, you know, no whaling stopped. But Paul picked me up, so I'm ready for the finale.
I mean, if the season's been cut short, because I feel like it has been just because there's less episodes than usual, I wonder if they find the Nishinmaru and then they just follow it the rest of the time. Maybe. That would be good. A good end to this season. I honestly don't know. I haven't read anything.
That would be fun if they sunk it.
Yeah. Just blow it up.
I mean, it looks pretty intense. There's fireworks going off. They're basically playing chicken at some point, I feel like. You know, like, all right, come at me, brah. Let's do it. You know, and essentially having a pro down moment of like, let's go. You gonna go? Let's do it. Come on. Hit me, bro. Let's do it. Yeah, so I'm excited.
I am too. I hope they find him.
And it's always tough because I really have no idea how this is going to end and how do you wrap it up? Like, where? I have no idea what point in the campaign you are. And so it's almost like, you know, I really hope the ball doesn't roll out of bounds in some sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I hope we score the game winner, Ben.
That'd be good. Yeah. We kind of need a lot of points to do that.
Oh, that's why. We'll get it. We'll get it.
We got an hour.
So, Ben, where can they find you?
I think I have a Twitter handle.
All right. So if you think you can find him, go through that trouble.
Just try to search for me if you want.
How about this? Instead of doing that, which is going to take you forever, why don't you go to iTunes, rate and comment, and that'll take you way faster, and Ben will actually read that because I force him to. Thank you guys for listening. Tell a friend, and if you follow us here at AfterBuzz TV on Twitter at AfterBuzz TV, of course. Thank you guys for writing in. For those of you who do, email addresses info@AfterBuzzTV. And for any of this information, just go to AfterBuzzTV.com. Let's help save the whales. We'll be back breaking down the season finale of season 4.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz
you later, Season 5.
Yes, we meant to say season 5, not season 4. Season 5, season 5 finale. We already did the season 4 finale, so check that out on iTunes too. But season 5 finale next week.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.